Welcome to Go Church Manchester Weekly Sermon Podcast.
Good morning. Well, thank you everyone for kind words and stuff like that over the week. It's been much appreciated. And Pastor Alan and Claire are down in London today. They're ministering at Word of Life with Pastors Gleeson and Marina. And they're also then going on to Horsham tonight to join with family and friends to celebrate Pastor Colin's 80th birthday. Which is exciting, isn't it? So let's just pray for Pastor Colin, his family, and everybody that's getting together down there to celebrate. You know, he faithfully stood up and declared that he would be preaching into his 80s. So he only needs to do something next week, I think, and he'll be all right, won't he? But yeah, he has been a real example to many of us in this room. I know for me personally, having been to Roffey and studied at Kingdom Faith Bible College and been on ministry trips with him, got to know him and the family, obviously served Pastor Alan and Claire for the last 23 years. You know, what an amazing family. What an amazing example he has been. And his wife, Caroline, who is an incredible woman. You know, she's so gracious. So let's just pray for them, the whole family. Have an amazing time. Have lots of fun and enjoyment together. Father, we just thank you that you raise up faithful men and women. And Father, we just thank you for Pastor Colin. Father, I thank you that from that time when you went into the and met him in his bedroom, Father, I just thank you that he has faithfully served you. And Father, I just ask that even though he may or may not like the attention, Lord, I just pray that he will just have an awesome time with family and friends tonight. That Father, the whole family will be brought closer to each other, be closer to you, Father, and be able to celebrate your goodness in the 80 years Pastor Colin and Caroline have had on this earth. And Father, we just speak blessing over them. That Father, in these coming days, they will just see your hand of blessing and favor in a way that they've not seen before. Just open their eyes to your amazing love in a new way. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm going to declare some stuff over our lives. Just say these truths after me. I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed at home.
I'm blessed at home.
And I'm blessed at work.
I'm blessed at work.
I'm blessed with my family.
I'm blessed with my family.
And I'm blessed on my own.
I'm blessed on my own.
I'm the head.
I'm the head.
And not the tail. The top,
the top,
and not the bottom.
Not the bottom.
I have the mind of Christ.
So I think right,
speak right,
and act right.
My behavior
and attitude
is good. I have an open heart
to hearing God's word,
and I am transformed
as my mind is renewed.
Today, God has good things for me.
He is always doing good to me.
And I open my heart
to receiving his truth.
You can get the message on that on the podcast from a while back, but I just really felt it was important to just declare these things over our lives. You know, it's easy to pray, and that's a good thing to do, but sometimes we need to just be declaring truth in situations. You know, we have the ability to receive from the Lord what he wants us to receive this morning if we open our hearts to him. You know, he's got a word to speak to us. He's got something he wants to do in our lives. And as we align ourselves with him and what he says about us, then we find that our lives are transformed. We're renewed in our mind. Our lives are transformed. And we begin to see his amazing blessings released in our lives. You know, I've been declaring those truths and a lot of other stuff with our children on the way to school now for many months. And it's quite funny because if we get to the point on the journey where we haven't started it, then normally Charlotte at the moment will go, I'm blessed. I'm going, yes, come on. But you know what? It really does help change how we approach things. And when we come into church on a Sunday, are we coming in expecting to hear from the Lord, or are we just coming into church because that's what we've done every single week? You know, and the word God's got for us this morning, I really believe is going to help us to see how we can see some of those blessings released in our lives. And I'm going to share a little bit about some of the things that happened in my own life, because I really believe, I felt God was just laying that on my heart, that there's certain things that happened over my story, my testimony, that will help other people today. So let's just turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. You know, the focus for this year is what?
Love.
Okay, there's a lot of people who need to go and listen to the podcast because that was what the message was for the last 2 weeks. The focus for this year is love. Okay, we are a family of churches working together to reach the world. That's our vision, and the focus of how we're going to achieve that this year is love. Why? Because God is love. You know, everything starts from that place, doesn't it? And you can go and get the podcast, they're online. You can get those through Church Suite, and you can listen again to what Pastors Alan and Claire shared has been the focuses for us for this year. But one of the verses, one of the key verses, is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. There's more to it than that, but I'm going to focus on verse 17 this morning. So it says in the second part, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." I'm just going to take the first bit of that section. "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love." What do you think of when you think of something that's rooted and established? What do you think of?
Tree.
We've got tree, plants, flowers. Okay, we're going to have a bit of a horticultural lesson this morning. You may have come to church for some great, preach, but we're going to have a horticultural lesson. But yeah, we think of a plant, we think of a flower, we think of a hedge or a tree. Okay, that is something that is rooted. Let's just turn to Psalm chapter 1. Because these are the two kind of scriptures that want to just set ourselves up for this morning. And in verse 1 it says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of waters, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." We could go on, but that's where we're going to stop this morning. Both of those two passages refer back to a tree. They give that imagery of the tree. You know, one of the things that you often see through Scripture is that time and time again, certain pictures are used. You know, you've got running the race, you've got other things that go on as well. But one of them is often that comes out a lot, both in the Old and the New Testament, is that imagery of being a tree, being rooted and being planted. And you know, one of the things that I just want to take a little thought about is, in a garden, a gardener decides how the garden's going to look. He decides where the trees are going to go, where the plants are going to go, which flowers are going to go where, which hedges. You know, particularly if you move into a new property, you know, and you get a landscape gardener, and they come and they start redesigning everything so that it looks really good. Okay, they decide where things go. My dad is a gardener. He's got a gardening business now, and he's a great gardener. He's done it for years. And, you know, he goes in and he looks at things and goes, "Well, we could do this, could do that, could do the other." But he is positioning things ready so that it looks good. And, you know, when they first go in, you know, he might need to, if you think about a tree, let's just think of a tree. If you think of, or a larger plant, you put that in, it may just be a seed or a bulb, okay? And at the beginning, the gardener decides where it's going to go, and then he may provide some additional support as it begins to grow. It becomes a shoot. So they may put a bamboo cane in just to tie it so it grows in the right particular way. And then it becomes a little bit bigger, it becomes a sapling, you know, it can stand on its own place, and then eventually it becomes a tree. And all that's needed, you know, you might get the gardener might prune it a bit, might chop bits off to shape it, might get it so it's growing in the way it wants it to do. And when it eventually reaches full maturity, often all you're doing then is just keeping it looking good. Okay, but that's a basic outline. I know there's lots of gaps in that process. As I say, my dad's the gardener, not me. But, you know, in that whole thing, when God is working with us, you can probably see the same analogy. Okay, and this morning we just want to have a little look at some of those things. Another little thought I just throw in here, because just as I was preparing, this kind of came to mind, is when the garden's ready and it's finished, it provides the environment for other wildlife to come along and to benefit from it. Okay, so you get all the animals and birds and all the rest of it that come along and benefit from it. And, you know, it's not just something of beauty, it has a function as well. it provides in that way as well. So one of the things we've been looking at, like I say, is the Ephesians passages that we're being rooted and established in love. And that, to me, being rooted and established, it's not just about some sort of like partial thing. That's something about it being set in place. Okay, when you're rooted, when the tree is rooted, okay, it's not going to jump up and start walking around. Okay, I did try and see if I could find any funny videos of trees walking around, but I couldn't come up with anything, unfortunately. There's apparently a walking tree, which is a bizarre concept, but there's nothing I could find. But you know, when we are rooted, okay, what are we rooted in? It says that we're rooted and established in love. The soil that we're rooted into is love, isn't it? That's what the nutrients that's in that soil is. But, you know, when we're in there, we're rooted in that love. The soil, that's where we take the nutrients from. Yeah. Okay? It's not just something that is kind of like, well, it's there and it's just a nice surrounding. There's a purpose for what we're rooted in. But also that established, it's the thing that holds us in place. Okay, so it's where you're getting your nutrients from. The love is what you're getting the nutrients from, but it's also what's holding you in place. Okay, because we're rooted and established. Okay, it's not just that we kind of get one bit or something else, but we're there and we're fixed and we're in place. And, this morning I just really want to focus on that thing that it says that in Psalm 1, which says we are like a tree planted by streams of water. And I want to look at that word planted this morning. It's an interesting word because in some ways it goes against some of what our society has developed in some ways. And we're like those trees planted. There's three things I'm going to pull out this morning. And the first one is that we are planted in a place. Okay, the gardener decides where the flower or the tree or the plant is going to go. The tree doesn't decide where it's going to go. It's the gardener that decides. But equally, there is a place for it. In a landscape garden, there is a great place for it to go where it's going to look the best, be the best, provide, you know, do what it's supposed to do to the best. Okay? We're not some wild thing that's just kind of like out somewhere in the wild countryside that just happens. No, we're like in that cultivated garden, where God has a place for us to be, where we are planted, and the gardener decides it. And who is the gardener? John 15, isn't it? My Father is the gardener. Yeah. You know, he is our gardener. He's the one who decides where we go, but he has a place for us. And I just wanted to focus on this for a couple of minutes this morning, because it's something that I've noticed as I've looked through Scripture, and it's not an exhaustive study on Scripture, I'll be honest. I'm still working on it. But I have yet to find an example through Scripture where God called somebody to a job before he called them to a place. Every single thing that you see in Scripture, well, that I've found in Scripture, God calls somebody to a place first, to a land, and then the work, the family, the blessings, the camels or the cars, whatever they are, that comes after. Yeah. Okay, there's an order that how God works. And if you look in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 8 and verse 15 as well, you see that God, when he'd created the worlds, the earth, and got the Garden of Eden, it says, and then God put man in the garden. Yeah. And the follow-on from that is to work. But he put him in the land first. He didn't say, and God gave Adam a job and then showed him where the job was in the garden. He put him in the garden first and then told him to do the work. Yeah. Okay? So I love that, because the Garden of Eden, the whole beginning, is how God intended it to be in the first place, wasn't it? And so it's always a great reference point to go back with and back to. Then in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 41, this is a verse that Simone and I was given on our wedding, part of a range of verses, but it says, I will assuredly plant them in the land. God loves to plant people in places. He took the Israelites and gave them a land, didn't he? It wasn't just that he let them be nomadic people and they wandered around and they were his chosen special people. He had a place for them to be. Now, okay, it took them a bit longer than he intended for them to get there, but they got there. That was the land. God wanted them in that land, didn't he? He had a place for them to be. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, we see that Abraham was called to go to a land. God didn't say, Abraham, go and be a farmer, and I'll give you a land. He said, Abraham was called to go to a land. And I think there's a real key in this. God plants us in a place. God calls us to a place. And in that place, that's where we're to be rooted and established. That's where we're to stay, unless God calls us to other things. But you generally find that God doesn't kind of have a schizophrenic mind, that one day he's going, oh, it's over here, and the next minute it's over here, and then it's over here again, that you hear some people talk about. You know, I listen to some people, particularly when they're choosing which churches to go to, I'm just like, well, where's God said to go? Go there. God doesn't keep it hidden. God's not, you know, the master of kind of like surprise and trying to keep everything off. He just goes, this is where I want you to be. He calls us to a place. He roots us and establishes in a place. You know, and just looking back at my own story, I grew up in Sheffield and I had a great, you know, upbringing, really blessed to be part of a Christian home, Christian family. And when I got to the age of 18 and I was looking to go to university, I was ready to leave my family. Now, different cultures do things in different ways, and I understand that, but the culture that I grew up in and the expectations as well that my family background was is that when I got to 18, I'd go to university. And I was quite happy with that. I was ready to go. I was probably ready for some breathing space from the family home, if I'm honest. You know, I was ready to move out. And so I went looking for universities. Now, my grandparents' background, my parents' background, there's quite a high academic sort of expectation in there. And so I was looking at some of the, my dad called them the top six universities in the country. I didn't want to go to Oxford and Cambridge, but I, you know, I was looking at other places like Imperial, London, Bristol. I looked at Southampton. These were good for the courses I was looking into in engineering. So I went down, I looked at Bristol, I looked at Southampton, I came over to Manchester. Now, when I walked on to Southampton campus, university campus, you could tell that the Christian Union was really active down there. There was such a peace in that place. I mean, it was a really, really enjoyable place. I mean, this is 20, however many years ago. But it was an amazing place in terms of just, there was a real sense of God's presence in the place. I don't know how to describe it. I was like, brilliant. So I put that down as my first choice university. You can clearly tell I haven't made it to Southampton because I'm stood here, but anyway. The next, I then came over to Manchester. Well, back in those days, I have to say Manchester was a bit of a dump. I didn't like it at all. Now, I grew up in Sheffield, so I'm from the north, so I've got none of this north-south kind of like looking at the north going, oh, I don't like it. I'm a real northerner. I love the north, but Manchester was not a particularly enticing, inviting place. I walked onto the campus. I was shown around by another student, and I thought, I don't want to be here. All the stories he was telling me, I was like, this is the last place I kind of want to be. And I really wasn't going to put Manchester down on my list until I met the man who was going to become my personal tutor if I came to Manchester. And there was something about him that I just connected with. I just thought, I could see myself coming if I'm with him. Now, was he a born-again Christian and everybody's expecting this kind of, wow, no, he was a Muslim, okay? Yeah. So I ended up in Manchester partly because of a Muslim man, okay? Now, why do I say all this? Because actually God will use whoever he needs to use to get you to be where you need to be, okay? And sometimes we can get so hung up on looking at spiritual things that we miss the basics of what God is saying. Abraham wandered off to Egypt, didn't he? That wasn't where he was supposed to be, but God still got him back to where he needed to be. Yeah. God is always bigger and more faithful and sticking to his plan and seeing that happen than I think sometimes we kind of give him credit for. Yeah. You know, he's big news this, God's bigger than you. He can cope. I'm not saying we should run off deliberately and do things wrong, but even if that happens, God is still the Redeemer, he's still the Restorer, and he will still turn it around and get you back onto the plan that he has for your life. Okay? Because he has a place for you to be planted. Okay? So I put down Southampton as my first choice. I ended up putting Manchester as my second choice. And so I don't know what time of the year that was, probably around about just before Christmas or something. And so I carried on. I do my A-levels, which is another story for another message. And I get to the end of the summer, the end of the term, I leave school and I go down to faith camp in the summer holidays, and I have an encounter with God during that week at faith camp that defined the rest of my life. I really met with God in an amazing way. But God spoke to me and gave me five promises of what was about to happen in my life. The first one was he told me what my A-level results were going to be, specifically, which I'll have to tell you the other story another time. You'll understand why. Just means you have to come back another time, doesn't it? So he told me what my A-level results were going to be, which was really interesting because the day I went in to get my A-level results, the bursar of the school gave me my results. I was a bit late to getting there because I'd travelled up from London. And he gave them to me. He let me look at them and goes, "Were they what you were expecting?" He didn't go, "Are you happy with them?" He didn't go, "Are you pleased?" He said, "Were they what you were expecting?" And I just went, "Yeah, they were, actually," because they were exactly what God had told me a few weeks before at faith camp. God then said, "You're going to go to Manchester." And then he said, "You're going to join the Kingdom Faith Church, and you're going to be the worship leader there." And then there was a fifth thing that he said about the nation of France. So I was like, "Okay, so I'm going to Manchester now." So I then have to sit in my head of sixth form's office whilst he rings up Southampton University, because I've met the expectations to go to Southampton University, and that was my first choice. So now he has to ring them up and say to them, he doesn't want to come to you any longer. Can he be released so he can go to Manchester? He's on the phone to them, and he turns to me and goes, "Are you sure you want to go to Manchester and not Southampton?" And you could just tell by the tone of his voice and the way he was looking at me, he was like, "You are crazy. What are you doing? You've got a great place at a great university in a lovely place. Why are you choosing Manchester over that?" But I knew then that God had said to come to Manchester. So obviously the rest is history, as they say. I ended up coming to Manchester, and God had already planned that this was where I was to be planted. In what he told me about coming to the Kingdom Faith Church, I had no idea about Go Church. I had no idea about World Harvest Bible Church in the middle. I'd never even heard of Kenneth Hagin and Rhema. You know, all of that kind of stuff, I didn't need to know. But God knew where he needed me to be planted. You know, God knows where you need to be planted. He calls us to a place, to a land. And in that place is where the streams of living water are. That is where the life and the nutrients will be found. It may not be what you are expecting or where you thought it might be, but it is the place God wants you to be, because that is where you'll grow and produce fruit. Amen. You know, we are to be in that place where God puts us, okay? And we need to accept that and align ourselves to go, "Yeah, this is where God wants me to be." I didn't get to Manchester and go, "Oh, I wish I'd gone to Southampton. I should have gone to Southampton." No, I'd made the decision. God had said where we were going. Obviously, I was intending to go somewhere else, and God rescued it and brought it back onto plan. Okay? Yeah. Using a Muslim man on along the way to get me into that place. You see what I mean? But it's not just about being in that geographical land. It's about which church you're supposed to be in. God has planted each of us in this room, in this church. Okay, that is where the nutrients, that's where the blessing is, that's where everything is going to be that you need. Okay, the gardener knows what soil you need to be in. He knew before he created you what soil you needed to be in 2020, and he decided that Go Church Manchester was the place where you're going to get it. But he also has decided which workplace you're to be in. He plants you in different places. I knew when I was in O2, I was in the place where God wanted me to be. You know? And there are days when you get up and that workplace isn't necessarily the thing that's kind of making you the most joyful thing. And you actually just have to go, "Thank you, Lord, that you put me in this place, and this is where you want me to be, because this is where I'm going to prosper." You know? God gave me stuff when I worked at O2 that I would never have, well, I wouldn't say never, but I wouldn't have got in another place that I potentially could have worked at. God knew where I was supposed to be. But when he plants you, he's not jumping you around all the time. The plant will not grow if it's constantly moving. Okay? I don't know whether this is for anybody who's here today, but if you're moving from church to church to church to church, stop. Because you're not going to get the nutrients you need. But also, if you're in this church and you're kind of looking at it going, I don't know, it's not doing this, it's not doing the other, just start rejoicing that God has put you in the right soil that's going to give you what you need. And it's the place of security and blessing. You know, we're supposed to be being built like living stones together, aren't we? That's not a temporary thing, that's a building. It's something that interlocks. People have often, you know, when people... I don't often enjoy this, but when people say, oh, what are the characteristics they see in me? One of them is always faithfulness, which after a while you kind of go, okay, is there anything else? I'll be honest. But it's a good quality, and I'm grateful for the people that gave me that example that I've learnt it from. But, you know, that whole thing is about staying in a place. It's not just about, you know, often, I'll be honest, there are people that I speak to who are forever talking to me about their next career change, the next promotion, they're going to get more money and all the rest. And I'm like going, just relax and enjoy where you're at. Yeah. God will promote you when you need to be promoted, and we don't have to try and force it ourselves. God puts you in the places you need to be, and it's about living and serving our master. The gardener makes the decision, not me. But we're growing up and we're living in a society today which says you have rights, you can make your choice, and you can do this and you can do that. Do you know what? We do have that in some ways, because you can always make a choice, because love always gives you a choice. But do you know what? If I'm going to live and serve the master, I let go of those choices and God decides. Why? Not because God's a harsh taskmaster who hates me and wants to put me in a place where I'm going to shrivel up and die. No, God puts me in a place where I'm going to prosper, where I'm going to be blessed, where things are going to be good for me, and I'm going to grow strong and healthy. Amen. Okay? And that's for every one of us here. God wants you to be here today because he wants you to grow strong and healthy. And that's the second thing that I want to talk about. We're not planted in a place is number one, but we're planted to grow. The gardener doesn't put a plant in a place and just go, well, that's it, I'll leave it now. He puts it there with the expectation that it's going to grow and develop. Okay, God has an expectation that we're going to grow and develop. He empowers us to grow and develop. You know, when we're in these places, when the tree, when it's in the right ground, it may start off as a seed, but it then becomes that shoot I was talking about, and then a sapling, and then eventually gets to the point where it's a mature, strong tree with a secure trunk and strong branches. The whole point of this is that it's growing. You know, we are supposed to be growing. That's why one of our values is grow. We've got love, and then we've got grow, haven't we? Yeah. You know, and I just, if you guys can just put the arrow picture up on the screen, if you've got that. This is in your news booklet for January in the Grow Group article. There's our growth pathway, our growth track. We want everybody coming into Go Church Manchester to be growing. That's what should be happening. That's what we're expecting to see taking place. So for every single person that comes in now, they may come in and start at the bottom. They may start not knowing anything about Jesus, and they come in and join our Alpha course. And we're going to be having a couple of Alpha courses this year. Then another stage of growth is the partnership, which is where people start to connect with us as the church and are making this not just as something they attend, but something they are being built into, and that's another area of growth. Then the next one is grow groups, which is the biggest place that all of us in this church are going to grow over the years. Okay? Replacing the life groups, this is not just a renamed thing, this is a slightly different focus and purpose, as we heard last week. But this is all about enabling each of us to grow. There's three ingredients to a grow group. There's teaching, there's prayer, and there's fellowship. Why? Because each of those three things will enable us to grow. As we get hold of the word, as we're chatting stuff through with one another, as we're supporting each other and praying for one another, we are going to grow. If I go back to my story, when I got to Manchester and joined Kingdom Faith Church back in the early days, I was straight in, it was life groups then, I was straight into a life group. And, you know, there are so many people that have brought wisdom, brought support, brought help into my life because I was in those groups over the years. People that are really close friends to us now, because why? We built the relationships with them back in those days. And we may not see some of them for months on time, you know, in terms of like having meals with them or spending one-to-one time with them. But actually, as soon as we do, we're able just to pick up where we were. Why? Because we grew together. There is something really powerful about us growing together. We're not supposed to be isolated. We're not supposed to be on our own. There's a sermon series starting next week which is going to go into some more of this. You're not supposed to be an island on your own. You're supposed to be living with other people. Go back to Genesis and the example, what did God say? It is not good for man to be alone. Grow groups are the place where we come together weekly, which enable us to grow. You know, if you want to think about it, I don't know whether this is entirely right, but in some ways it's a bit like being in the greenhouse. You know, the gardener sometimes puts plants in the greenhouse because it enables them to grow quicker. And that's kind of what God is doing with us through grow groups. He's putting us in those greenhouses where we can grow quicker because we help and support each other. The nutrients we can give to one another, the blessings that we can give to each other. You know, when I arrived in Manchester, I was a young 18-year-old lad who was very confident in what he thought he knew. That's another way of saying I thought I knew it all. And ready to face the world away from my parents. But when I look back now over the last 23 years, I can see how God has completely changed me, enabled me to grow into something far stronger with a bit more understanding than what I had back then. And I think I probably think I know less now than I knew back then in some ways. You know, yes, I've had life experiences along the way that have helped with that and shaped me, but I know that my God, you know, has made the growth happen because he provided the right nutrients and the right things for me to be in. Whether it be conversations with Pastor Alan and Claire, whether it was when I was, you know, spent time with Kewell and Joy or Limble and Diana or Peter and Jill, you know, they're people that have been with me over the years who've spoken in at different times. They're people that Simone and I look to at different times and go, well, that they do that really well. How can we learn from that? You know, different parts of our lives that we look at and we try and model and we learn from. Why? Because we're in the group together. We're growing together. We're getting the nutrients. So God wants you to grow. And that's why grow groups have the teaching element in it, because the teaching element is another part that helps you to grow. You know, we can't teach everything on a Sunday morning, but we can learn stuff when we're together and we can chat stuff through and we can see, well, how does that apply in my life? How does it apply in your life? How do you pray? How do you pray in this situation? How do you do that? How do you read the Bible here? How do you tell your friends at work about it? You know, whatever it may be, there are things that we can learn together when we're in grow groups. You know, you become bigger and stronger through this, and you can face the winds and storms of this life far more easily than you would have done before. You know, we're launching grow groups in a month's time. We've nearly got the list together of what those grow groups are going to be to start off with, the first 10. I've just got to confirm a final few things, and then probably next week we'll start telling you what they are so you can sign up to join a grow group. And we are expecting to see over half the church in a grow group when we launch, going up to 75% by the end of the year. Why? Because this is the way you're going to grow. You know, I could tell you loads of stories about going to life group in the early days. I was walking from where I lived in Fallowfield all the way to Chorlton, okay? I didn't have a car. I don't know how many miles. It's about two and a half miles, I think, 3 miles, probably something like that, between the distances. And I would walk there every week. Not because I'm some superstar, but just because actually I knew I needed to be there. That was my connection point. When I was away from home, that was my connection. That was going to keep me strong, keep me healthy, keep me growing in what God wanted. You know, I was walking one day and I saw a group of lads up ahead, a bit, well, more than that, it was quite a big group. And I either crossed all the way over the dual carriageway to the other side or I was going to go through it. And I remember going, well, God, either you're here or you're not. I'm going through. You said you're my protector. And I get into the group and it's split into two. And half the group were never interested in me, and the other half started circling around me, and they were trying to grab my bag off me, my back, and all the rest of it. And bizarrely, I'd put everything, my wallet and everything, in my bag. I'd not put it in my pocket where I always keep it. And I remember in the middle of it, one of the sort of ringleader from the whole group, but who was in the other half, he suddenly started turning to me and went, "Don't touch him. Don't touch him. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Don't touch him." So they let me go, and I, you know, I was a bit shaken up, but you know, in some ways, because it all happened, but like, wow, what's just happened? That's amazing. Yeah. They never once touched. I remember thinking, either God, you say that they won't touch a hair on my head, and I'm going through. That was what I'd remember saying. And they never touched anything. Yeah. In fact, they looked in all the pockets of my bag except the main pocket. Well, if you're going to look in any bag, where are you going to look? The main pocket, aren't you? I mean, it's like, it was amazing, but halfway through that guy going, don't touch him, leave him alone, don't touch him. Now, I don't recommend that every time you're walking along and you see a big gang, you do that, okay? Because there are other times I've definitely heard God say, run now, okay? I don't know what was going to happen or what didn't happen, okay? But the point was, is that, you know, I was going on the way to life group. God wanted me to be in life group. He knew that's where I needed to be, and he was going to protect me because I was doing what he wanted me to do. And as you set yourself out and go, this is what I'm doing because God has said that. Why? Because the leaders of the church have said it. Therefore, I'm going to be obedient to doing it. It's not what I want. It's what God is saying for me. Then suddenly you find that all these blessings and things happen and you can look back and you can give amazing testimonies of God's goodness. Why? Because he's getting you in the right place at the right time. You know? Ephesians 4 verse 15 talks about growing into the full knowledge and maturity of Christ. You know, we are to be growing, to being fully mature. You know, if we want to grow, I heard this yesterday when I was at Rhema, and I just thought I'm nabbing that for tomorrow. If we want to grow, then we have to do things the way God has designed it. Okay? The plant has to grow according to the way the gardener sets it out. If it's tied to a bamboo stick, it will grow straight. Okay? If you want to grow, you have to go about it the way that God wants it to be. That's why God puts us in a place. That's why God puts people around us with and enables us to grow and gets the nutrients. And that's why it's all built around love, isn't it? That the foundation and everything else flows from that place. So the final thing. So we've got planted in a place, planted to grow. And planted to produce fruit. That's the third one. You know, you don't just see the plant growing up and then that's it, the tree, whatever, and it's just there and then nothing ever happens. It's not the big tree. If nothing's going on the tree, then it's dead. I mean, there's no other way about it, is there? The fruit is supposed to be produced. You know, every tree that is planted is not there for itself, but is there to produce fruit to enable more trees to grow. And we'll bless those who pick the fruit off it. If you've got an apple tree, we enjoy eating the apples. Those apple trees produce the fruit and we get the blessing of it, don't we? You know, when we're growing, when we're producing fruit, it's going to be for other people's blessing. The tree isn't blessed by the fruit being produced. Something else happens. Yes, there's a reproduction in there, and I'm going to touch on that in a second. But if we look back at Genesis 1, verse 28, we see God setting these things in place. You know, when God put Adam in the garden, so he first of all takes him to the garden, then he gives him the job to do, and he's, you know, walking with him and all the rest, and he says, be fruitful and increase in number, doesn't he? The command God gave at the beginning was to be fruitful. But when God gives a command, and this is just a little aside, when God gives the command, he empowers you to do the command. God isn't there just going, do this, and you're on your own, sort it out. He goes, no, do this, and here's the ability to do it. He had already reproduced in Adam and Eve the ability to be fruitful. And so therefore, when God said, be fruitful, and they obeyed, they were fruitful. And we see that because we're all sat here today. You know, it flows out from that place. You know, it should be easy for us to say yes in response to what God is saying. Why? Because we know that it's the master telling us, but not just that he's telling us, but he's also giving us the power to fulfill it. Yeah. Our fruitfulness comes about because firstly, we recognize that we're planted in the place, that we're the soil, we're rooted and established in that love, we're rooted and established in the place God wants us to be. It's not a transient thing, but we're fixed and we're there. And then we recognize that we're to grow. And that as we grow, we're getting all of the stuff that we need, helping each other, working with one another, and that we're growing into the full maturity of what God wants. We're reading the daily reading, Bible reading plan. And if you haven't signed up for that, do get involved. It's in your news booklet as to how you can, because all these things help us to grow. But then thirdly, we are there to produce fruit. And that fruit is not for us. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit is produced on us so that other people can come and get the fruit of the Spirit. And I loved an analogy I heard recently where, you know, if you take, every fruit has the seed in it. Yeah. And so when you take that seed, when you take the fruit, you take the seed, you take the ability for it to be reproduced. So when people come and get the fruit off you, the seed that is going to reproduce that in their lives is taken with it. So when they take that fruit of patience, take that fruit of love, take that fruit of kindness or gentleness or self-control or faithfulness or kindness, whatever the ones I missed are. But when you take those, that seed is in it so that those people are going to then see it being reproduced in their lives. Yeah. That's what we're supposed to be expecting to see happen. You know, so it's about us producing fruit, but then another thing within that is that we're supposed to be seeing people saved. Yeah. We're believing the Lord for how many salvations this year? 50. Brilliant. So can you just stick the picture of the Jesus up on there? It's not a picture of what Jesus looked like, don't worry. We are going to recreate, this isn't the final design, because this is just to give you an idea. We're going to recreate either an actual version of it, or certainly a graphical version of the name of Jesus in light bulbs. And every time, it'll have 50 light bulbs on it. And every time this year that somebody gets saved, we're going to light a light bulb. We're going to turn it on. So by the end of the year, there'll be the name of Jesus lit up, because we'll have seen 50 salvations, okay? But those salvations are not just necessary people that have got saved on a Sunday morning as a result of an altar call. If you lead somebody, if you lead your neighbor to the Lord, one of those light bulbs is going to go on. If you lead your friend to the Lord at work, a light bulb's going to go on. You've got to tell us though, okay? We operate well with the gifts of the Spirit, but we will need you to tell us when it happens. It'll be much easier. But we will update the picture, or we'll physically turn a light on if we have an actual model of it. Okay, but every time, because we are supposed to be reproducing fruit, not just on a church on Sunday morning, but everywhere we are. I'm expecting to see this church begin to see people saved in and out of their workplaces, the school playgrounds, you know, in your university, colleges, wherever it may be, in the supermarket, your neighbors on your street, your friends, whoever it may be, family members, we're expecting to see people being saved. And why are they going to be saved? Because you're going to lead them to Jesus. Amen. You're going to have that amazing privilege. And then we're going to be able to light another light bulb and go, and we're all going to be able to celebrate together. Every time somebody at CAP gives their lives to the Lord, there's a bell that goes off.
Harmonicas.
Oh, harmonicas now, it's changed. It's a bit more modern. I don't know, is that more modern?
Because there's so many.
But there's so many. Yeah, the bell's just going off all the time. I don't know. But I think I read something where recently that CAP has seen something like 20,000 people go debt-free. You know, it's amazing that going debt-free, but how many people have they seen come to the Lord? And they get excited because somebody comes to the Lord. And it says, doesn't it, that when a sinner gives their life to Jesus, there's a party going on in heaven. Heaven, the angels are rejoicing. Well, this is going to be our version of rejoicing on earth, is we're going to light another light bulb. Okay, so when you lead somebody to the Lord, tell us, because we want to get those light bulbs lit this year. Amen. You know, we're believing for those salvations, but I am believing that you're going to be rooted and established in love, in the right place, recognizing that this is the place God wants you, that you're going to grow this year, growing into full maturity of what God wants, knowing how wide and deep and high is his love, but also so you're going to be producing the fruit of that love in people's lives. Let's all stand. We're just going to respond to the Lord this morning. You know, as I was talking, there may have been things where I really had a sense as I was preparing for this morning that maybe some people, you've been fighting with God as to where you are. Like, you know, I don't know if I'm in the right church. I don't like this about that church. Or I don't like my work because of this. Or, you know, I'm struggling in this area because of where I am. Why am I here? And I just really felt, just before we move on, that God just wants you to make a slight heart adjustment and start to repent of that attitude, but also go, thank you, Lord, that you put me in this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you put me in the place. Thank you, Master, that you have the best for me. You know, just be encouraged by what I was sharing earlier about my own story, that even though I had Southampton on the top of the list, God knew where how to get me to Manchester. If you have the heart attitude of being open to God leading you to where you need to be, you will end up in the right place. It's not a fight. It's not a difficult thing. You just say yes to Jesus when he shows you. So to just where you are just right now. If there's any area where you've been fighting things internally, just give them to Jesus. He's the greatest one for taking stuff off us. Cast your cares on the Lord. Cast the fighting on him. Just recognize that you perhaps not had the right attitude towards the church or the workplace or even being in Manchester itself or Salford. You know, wherever it is. And just repent of that and just then say, thank you, Jesus. Let's all just begin to thank him. Say, thank you, Jesus, that you planted me in good soil, that you have a place for me, that you have a plan for my life, and that plan is in this place. Thank you, Jesus, that you have that plan for me, that you planted me in good soil. Just thank him where you are. Don't just wait for me to give you words. Just thank him that he's put you in this place. Oh, that it's good soil, that you're going to get the nutrients you need. Oh, yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank him that you're exactly where God wants you to be, that you, if you listen to him and obey him, you'll find yourself in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. Just begin to thank him for that. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're the master gardener. You're the master gardener. You care for me. You tend for me. You look after me properly. Thank him that he wants you to grow, that he wants you to become strong and mature. Oh, yes, thank you, Lord, that you're able to face whatever life throws at you because he has made you strong. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're in a rich place for growth. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Just settle in your heart that you're going to go to a grow group. Or just thank the Lord that he's got the right grow group for you to go to. It's going to be a grow group where you're going to really grow, where you're going to become strong, where you're going to be blessed, where you're going to be able to be a blessing to others. Just thank him for that. Thank him that he has fruit for you to produce for others. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that I am going to produce good fruit for other people to take. Thank you, Lord, that fruit is going to bless them. Father, thank you, it's going to produce life in them. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank him for those people that you're going to see saved this year, that you're going to be able to see a light bulb lit on that Jesus sign because you're going to lead somebody to him this year. Just thank him for that. Thank him that as a church we're going to see 50 people who were going to hell now going to be going to heaven. That their eternal destiny is going to be changed because of what's happening in this place. Oh, thank him for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you that you have a great plan for our lives and you put us in the right place, in good soil, that we can be rooted and established in love, held secure and firm. I thank you that you enable us to grow. I thank you that you enable us to produce fruit. And I thank you, Lord, for every single one of those 50 people's lives that is going to be changed eternally this year. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.